comes to us this day from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we continue our sermon series, Comfort Candles in Christmas. As we journey our way through the Advent season to the celebration of Christmas, we journey our way through Isaiah chapter 40. And this is one of those pivotal points in the story of God, and especially the redemption of Israel, as they have been in exile and now they are heading back home. And the proclamation is coming out to the people, all those who have been left behind in Judah and the towns in Jerusalem, that God is coming. It's the great news that people have been waiting for and dreaming about and hoping for, that God is finally on his way. And I think about this Advent season, that we, during this time, we especially are a people in waiting. Because not only are we waiting to celebrate the birth of the Christ child anew, but we also are waiting for the second coming of Christ as well. And so during this season of the church year, we especially are remembering and mindful of what it means to wait. Of course, I remember growing up what it meant to wait during December, waiting for Christmas, seeing the Christmas tree all lit up and everything ready to go, and yet I still had to wait. I remember my mom, she would give me this little picture of a Santa face, and she gave me a cotton ball every day, and I got a chance to glue that cotton ball on that beard so I could count down every day to Christmas. Of course, this year what we've done is we've given Luke a Advent calendar, so he gets to open up the door every single day, and inside there's this tiny little train car, and he gets to build this train throughout Advent. He is learning to wait and to wait patiently. Of course, as I think about the coming of God and all that it means and all that it calls for us in life, I'm reminded that, you know, the good news for us today, because we are here on a Sunday and today is a celebration of the Lord's Day, we who are here, we need not wait until Christmas. We don't actually need to wait till December 25th to celebrate. Because the reality is that Christ, who was born, lived a life in perfect transparency to God. He walked all the way in faithfulness with God to the point of death on the cross. And yet on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And by his life-giving spirit, he comes to us any and every day, and especially today. We don't need to wait. You don't need to wait to know the presence and the gift of God in your life. You don't need to wait to know his love and his joy and his forgiveness and his grace. You don't need to wait till the end of the month or for the celebration of Christmas, because God is willing to come to you, especially right now. And that is part of the meaning of Christmas, is that God's gift is given to us without price, that we would simply accept it and enter into a new relationship with him. But as we do, we then find ourselves once again waiting. Waiting for the second coming of Christ. Waiting for when he will make all things new. Waiting for when Isaiah says there will be a day that the knowledge of the Lord covers the land as the waters cover the sea. We wonder just what sort of thing that will be. But we know that God is good. We know it will be beyond all of our imagining. And so we live in expectancy. We live in hope. And we especially live each and every day realizing that while we wait, we do not sit alone, but rather God has called us to live expectantly in this life. Just as in Isaiah this morning said, when you proclaim the coming of God, proclaim it confidently. Live confidently. Live as if God is already knocking at the door. And so it is that we are called to live life each and every day, knowing that Christ is coming. Let us take every moment, every minute, every opportunity to share His light and His love in this world. Because before we know it, He will be here. And He will ask us, what have we done with every moment, every gift of time He has given us? And so it is that we are called to live confidently, for God is truly coming. That's not all that Isaiah says here in chapter 40. Not only is God coming, but it says that God is coming victoriously. That is one of the ways that the blessings, the herald is proclaimed there in Isaiah, is that they're to go forward and say that God is coming with a mighty right hand. He is coming now with His reward. And we wonder, well, what sort of thing does this mean? Well, if we recall last week, the first couple of verses, verses 3 through 8 in Isaiah, it was talking about God's people who have been in exile all this time. They're now on their way home. And it had that beautiful imagery of the mountains being made low and the valleys being raised up and the rough roads being made smooth so they could make their way home. And of course, God, what is God doing? Here He is leading the way. He is the victor. It leads us back to the ancient Near East and other times when the conquering army, they would come back home, and what would they do? They would bring all of the loot, the spoils of war with them. And yet in this particular case, what God is doing, the spoils of war, the loot, is you. He went to battle for you. And so it is in Christ Jesus, we now know how the battle ends. God wins. We know that God has overcome all of the sin and brokenness that keeps us from Him, that keeps us from a life lived in honor and glory of God. God is victorious, and He calls us to live confidently that victory in Him. The other day I was reading someone who was talking about a victorious life in God, and I remember there was this powerful passages, these points about how it is that our sin that seems to wrap us up sometimes, and it just appears, and it seems so small in the beginning, but just wraps its tentacles around us and begins to hold us and bind us, and before we know it, life seems to be getting more and more difficult, and yet God has come to clear that sin out, to clean away the darkness, to clean away all that has been broken in our lives and to begin to give us new life. Of course, as I think about the imagery of the living the victorious life, as I think about the Apostle Paul and his letter to the young Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight, I have won the race, I have kept the faith. And sometimes when some of us think about the victory in life, we think about keeping the faith as well. And we think about keeping ourselves from sin and temptation. We put down that extra chocolate this Christmas season. We keep ourselves from the things that lead us astray. I'm reminded of the little girl in Sunday school one day. The teacher asked her, she said, well, what do you do when temptation comes? And she said, well, I let Jesus answer the door. But it's not simply keeping ourselves from temptation that leads us to the victorious life. It's not simply cleansing us from sin and from brokenness. There's something more to life with God that God desires for us to live victoriously. A few days ago, I remember running across this wonderful little story about a teacher who was trying to help his class think through a problem that he was posing to them, and he said, here is this cup, and while it seems that there's nothing in this cup, there is in fact something in this cup. Air. How do we get the air out of the cup? And some of the students were sitting there with quizzical looks, but one student, he was an engineer in the making. His brain started going. He was really excited by this problem, and his hand shot up, and he said, well, there's a vacuum in the closet right over there in the corner. We can get the vacuum, we can put it over and start to suck the air out of it. And the teacher just said, you know what? Go ahead, give it a try. Let's see what happens. And so while the student went there and he started to work and he was looking at the vacuum and he was trying to figure out how the vacuum was going to go over the cup and whatnot, and the teacher just continued on teaching for a little while, and finally he looked over and he said, "By the way, when you turn that thing on, think about the suction of it. Are you going to destroy the cup when you turn it on?" And that put another light bulb on, and he started thinking again, and he was working away on it, and he continued on and on, and finally the teacher decided to give just a little bit of mercy in all of this. And so while the boy was working on one cup, the teacher took a second cup. And he said, "You know, I've been doing a lot of teaching up here. My mouth is getting really dry. There." Took all the air out of it. Sometimes when we think about living the victorious life, we think about cleansing the sin out of us. But part of what God wants us to think about as He is coming to us and coming into our life is He desires to fill us with good things. Instead of spending all of our time thinking about how can we stay away from temptation, a good move is to begin to ask ourselves, how can we fill ourselves with God's love and God's grace? How can we fill ourselves with His Spirit and His strength? How can we fill ourselves so we can walk faithfully each and every day? And that is where we begin to live that victorious life that God desires for us. God comes to us, and He desires to fill our lives. Just as God was leading His people out of exile into their home, so He is also leading us out of the exile and sin and brokenness into home with Him. And of course, one of the great images of that leading is the very last verse there, verse 11, God as shepherd. And as I was thinking about this picture, I was thinking about all the pictures that I've seen with Jesus and sheep. And they've got him holding sheep all sorts of different ways. Some of them have him holding a sheep over his shoulder as he's walking along. And some of them, they have him holding a sheep around his neck on his shoulders like that, and he's walking along. And then others of them have him holding a sheep on his arm on the side like that as he's walking along. But the imagery here in Isaiah is different. It says this, holding the sheep close to his heart. Because that is where God desires you to be. Close to his heart. For he desires not only to fill you with his love, but he desires you to desire his heart in return. And that is where we are called to be this Advent season on our journey to the celebration of the Christ child. To remember that because Christ has come, he has been born and laid in a manger, he has lived a life in perfect transparency to God, he has walked all the way in faithfulness to the point of death on the cross, and yet he was raised on the third day because he is still alive in coming to us each and every day. You need not wait. But you can begin to live the victorious life even here, right now, being filled with his love, filled with his joy and touched by his peace as he holds you close to his heart and you are filled with his love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift that we have in Christ Jesus and for the love that is poured out in him. Lord, we thank you that you have come into our world and into our lives. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we thank you that you leave us not where we are, but you lift us up to a life filled with victory. Not simply empty of all the sin, but filled in with your light and your love. Lord, may we go forth this day knowing that we are your children, knowing that you desire us close to your heart. And Lord, may we grow and may we walk in that desire for you. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand if you're able and let us sing together our hymn of dedication, Angels We Have Heard on High. It's number 238 in your hymnals, and the words are on the screen.